Welcome to Historical Window, a program that lets you experience the past and treasure the history of the Boys Fort Band of Ojibwe through the voices and experiences of our elders.
Okay, my name is Heart Warrior Chosa. I ran for governor in 1990, so I'm pretty well known in the cities because that's where I did all my campaigning. My dad was registered in Boys Fort in Net Lake. We had our original villages on Basswood Lake, which is now in the middle of the Boundary Waters canoe area. I raised both my sons there.
So for Historical Window, we'll just go over some of the points, you know, the topic points. And you wanted to discuss atomic bombs right away. What do you remember about the atomic bombs?
I was born in August 1945 when they dropped the bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So I always joke that I'm part of the fallout. Then when I was real little, before 5 years old, every year we came up to the Boundary Waters, which was not the Boundary Waters then. It didn't become the Boundary Waters till I was about 11. It was private. But we went back and forth between inner city and the wilderness. And when we were in the city, we had bomb drills. The whole city practiced bomb drills where sirens would go off and everybody would run to the basement, you know, until it was over and then come out. And then when we were up in the Boundary Waters, we had bear drills. And my mother would holler, "Bear," and then me and my brother were supposed to run under the bed. So it just seemed like my first 5 years, whether it was the city or the woods, we were having drills. So when JFK got killed, I had to take the bus home. It happened the last hour of class. It was live on the radio, aired into our art class. Everybody was in shock. And I remember riding the bus from the west side of St. Paul back to where we lived, and everybody on the street was crying. People were walking in the street crying. Everybody was extremely shocked and upset by the situation. I wasn't affected by it. I just thought I was more affected by how the people were affected. I remember when I was a little tiny baby and they'd put me in front of the television and there'd be a big fat lady singing the opera.
So you were pretty small then.
Yeah.
Okay. Rock and roll.
Well, then we went to boarding school where we weren't exposed to any music or anything like that, anything in the popular culture. So I was there for 4 years. They were trying to robotize me into Christianity and all that, but actually the experience was good for me because I had visions and things coming from my Indian culture, not from them.
So where did you go to boarding school?
Chamberlain, South Dakota.
Chamberlain.
Next to Missouri River.
Okay. So you were there for 4 years and then high
summer and winter. Summer and winter we were there, 4 years.
Year round.
Yeah. And then when I came back, I was in fifth grade. And my mother remarried. We moved to Pink Suburbia, which was a total culture shock for me.
What is that, Pink Suburbia?
Pink Suburbia is the first suburbs where they had all the little houses that looked exactly alike, driveway on the same side of the house. Everything was exactly alike. They were the first suburbs.
So how did it come by Pink Suburbia?
Because all white people lived there.
Oh. Huh?
I was very small for my age because I had malnutrition in boarding school. I had aching bones all the time and styes and boils and rashes and bugs crawling around in my hair. I was a miserable kid physically, but spiritually I was real happy and I loved life and I loved the earth. Vietnam War. Yeah, I was in college. 1964, my boyfriend got shipped off to Vietnam, and it kind of upset me because I was afraid for him. But in the 60s, I was an activist. I was in college in Minneapolis and became a political activist. But the whole college threw in and sent buses to Washington and everything.
For the protest?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, everybody that was vocal was against the war, was against invading somebody else's country and mindlessly just slaughtering people and psychologically destroying the young boys that were sent over there. I wasn't so much protesting in the Vietnam War, although those protests were going on, I was more a feminist. I was in the Women's Liberation Movement and the American Indian Movement, which took off out of Minneapolis. When I was 19, I backed a professional gambler in Las Vegas on the crap tables. What? And he invited me, and I said, I won't go unless I have a round-trip plane ticket, and I say stay in a separate hotel, because if I don't like it, I'm leaving, you know. And when you want me to back you up on the crap tables, you have to call on me, and I'll come, you know. Well, then while we were flying in the plane out there, that guy that went to the moon, John Glenn, he was in the plane seat just ahead of us. And the stewardess came, and she was flirting with him. She propositioned him. And he said, I'll have you know I'm a happily married man, thank you, you know. So me and my friend were kind of laughing about that. That's all I remember about the moon landing.
Okay.
When I graduated from college, I was offered scholarships in law, social work. I was offered my own TV program. I was offered a job painting for Disney because I went to art school. And I turned all that down and I thought, no, I know what I'm not, but what am I? Where do I belong? This is not it. I don't belong here. I have to go on a search. I went on a spiritual search. I followed my heart and it led me to Hopi Land. See, I'm Thunderbird Clan, Thunder Being, not Bird, Thunder Being Clan. And so I ended up going to the West Pole of the Earth. The white man knows there's a North and South Pole, but there's also an East and West Pole. And I was attracted to that. And then found out it was the home of the Thunder Beings. And I learned and heard, I heard the four ages. The elders talk about the four ages that we've lived through so far. We're in the fourth age. It's coming to an end, and then the new fifth world will come. I heard all that stuff. Okay, so when I went on the search, then I went to South Dakota. I heard about this old medicine man, and I went there. But I didn't know at the time that I had arrived in the Wounded Knee War Camp.
Oh.
And that spiritual camp, and they had just left walking to Wounded Knee. I came into the camp on a spiritual search. I came into a war camp on a spiritual search, which I didn't know it was a war camp or what was going on there for that. And then I hitchhiked home and went up to the Boundary Waters, moved back, lock, stock, and barrel, moved out of the city. And I went up there to do the sweat. It was like nature took me and pulled all my old stuffing out, put all new in.
Out of different events in your life, historical events, in the world, what would you say would have the biggest impact on you?
When the white man came to Turtle Island, they have within 100 years. So in that short a time, they have put, when they came here, you could drink from any stream. The disease was unheard of. And now you wouldn't dare. I feel sorry for the animals and the birds that have to drink from those rivers and lakes and stuff. Things are different, and a younger generation coming up won't miss it because they ain't never had it.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Just that I think that Native Indians need to regroup, need to recover what their ancestors did, how they lived, to understand it. Not necessarily go do it, be impossible today, it'd be a fight. But to recover some of that, and I think that when I realized, studying these other cultures around the world, that our people knew certain things that to us would be just common knowledge, to other people it would be completely new, and that they could teach some of these things out so that people knew how to make it better.
Historical Window is a production of KBFT and the Net Lake Radio Project. This program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota.